Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And already, like, we're just hitting the air and I've already completely changed the entire trajectory of the radio show today. We do have some Tiger stuff to get to, including some interesting audio from an MLB writer who used to cover the Tigers here locally about their future trade prospects and what have you. But, well, we'll get to that later. We're kind of putting that on the back burner because we've got an issue of our time to get to before that.
It is garage sale season.
Yes, it is.
I understand it. I respect it. I will not be participating in any way, shape, or form. But then, come to find out, my neighbor, who we get along with, she has a kid right around Joey's age. I think they're probably going to grow up to get in trouble together. It's going to be great. They're having a garage sale. And it frustrates me when you have, it's not the people running the garage sale. It's the garage sales customers, the sailors themselves. Are they called sailors?
I say, wouldn't the sailors be the people who are doing the selling?
Sailies, I don't know. It's those people that will park in front of my house or in my driveway or have my dog going absolutely bananas because she thinks she's protecting that. She'll bark at a leaf. The kids go up and down the sidewalk on their bikes. Perfectly acceptable. Not to my dog, apparently. My dog wants to kill all of them. And now I got to deal with this. Garage sales, I get it. I understand it. I just don't want to participate in it. I don't want it in my neighborhood.
My God, you really are just the Karenest Karen that ever Karen, aren't you?
Yeah, I should probably just put on my Karen wig and go, other people live here too.
I mean, I will grant you the people using your driveway and your yard as their parking space. I mean, I can see how that gets annoying real quick.
Yeah.
The other stuff, I mean, that's just, isn't that just kind of part of living in a residential neighborhood, man?
It is.
Like, yeah, people are going to be here. Like,
it is. A lot of times, it's the people, because my mom used to have garage sales all the time, and it'd just be like old ladies coming there wanting to, you know, shake my mom down. It could be a big TV for a quarter. It's those kind of people.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then what I really don't like, and it's not so much anymore because the kids have gotten older, but it would inevitably happen. All these garage sales would keep going on. They'd be on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, they just want to get rid of everything. So they're giving away everything for free. My stepkids would go there and find all this junk for free and it'd be over at my house.
That gets old real quick, doesn't it?
Yeah. One time, Noah dragged over a stair step machine without the motor. And this thing was like an early 1970s version. It was like steel.
First of all, isn't that kid like five? How is he dragging something that large back to your house?
He was about 10 at the time.
And, still.
I mean, you could look down the sidewalk and there's like a big old scratch.
And
that thing sat there forever.
Like, what do you think you're doing with this? You're clearly not going to replace the motor on it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, then we get, like, Christmas ornaments that say, Merry Christmas 2011. It's like, yeah, that's what we really need.
Like, who are the people that actually want to buy some of that junk?
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare that I find something. Like, occasionally I'd find some, like, electronics that I couldn't live without, like, my stereo at back when I was at my folks' house, came from a garage sale. A good chunk of my vinyl collection, actually.
Oh, that's a great place to find vinyl. And
because most people have no idea what they've got, which means that, you know, you might get like a copy of Led Zeppelin 4 for like nothing, which I did, and I am working on procuring that for you.
Oh yeah,
it also awesome. Means you might get 20 copies of Andy Williams' Greatest Christmas Hits.
Hey. That's some good stuff.
Is it, though? I guess I should put Andy Williams on the apology list, but I'm pretty sure he's been dead too long to really care.
Oh, look, Ann Murray sings hip-hop.
Oh, no.
Tiny Tim's favorite reggae tunes. Now, this has got to be a perfect hit.
Oh, yeah, that's going to really just get all the...
Yeah, so, I mean,
the
garage
kids are
sales,
all down with that.
Garage sales, you go ahead and have them have a great time with your selling or your buying or whatever. Just don't bring me into it, okay, I have enough junk in my house, and I'm not selling it. I know sometimes when I open up my garage, it looks like I'm having a garage sale.
It
does. Not.
Like, I've seen the inside of your garage, and you probably should have a garage sale to get rid of some of that stuff, man.
And that's after we rented up a dumpster and threw a bunch of stuff away.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Didn't even fill up the dumpster.
I know.
And didn't tell me that they were taking away said dumpster so I could dump things in it. I see how see what kind of friend you are, man.
Yeah, I said, yeah, we have it for a week. And Sean doesn't own a calendar, so he doesn't know how long a week is.
It was gone before a week. I swear to God it was.
It was, yeah. They're not cheap.
No, they're
come
not.
In handy, though. They come in really handy.
I should just, really what I should do is just open our garage and not have a garage sale, except what I'm selling is my alcohol.
No, don't sell that. Or just go open up a bar.
buy the drink or shot, you know, for a reasonable donation.
I do see where like they have garage sales and these kids have like a little lemonade stand.
I passed one of those on my way in today.
Did you?
Yeah, in our little ville.
Oh, I bet.
But that's what I should do. Just here, have some cocktails like while you're doing your garage sale.
You were at that garage sale for an hour and a half. Yeah.
He has some really good stuff, I tell you what.
You bought one sock? Yeah. You're not going to wear it, are you? No, I'm just going to give it as a memento. Look, he signed it. It says, to my friend, you're cut off. Hugs and kisses, Sean.
I think this could be a quite lucrative business model for me.
You're going to use a garage sale as a front for your speakeasy?
I fail to see the issue with this.
There you go.
I think there's potential here, my friend. Just because you might not see it does not mean that it doesn't exist.
I'm sure there's licenses and, you know, everything.
Oh, licenses, Adam. Maybe if you're a big fan of doing things the legal way, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not what the forefathers wanted.
No, not at all. Our forefathers didn't want us to be constrained by not being able to sell our booze at any time we wanted. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to get to today. We'll do the Tigers thing, I think, next. It is happy hour. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. So we've spent a lot of time this Tigers season mostly talking about the prospect of this team being sellers at the deadline, because that's really mostly what people, I think, expect is going to happen. Like, you're a handful of games right now out of the wild card, you're 11 games back or so in the AL Central, and you're not really, seemingly your offense, it just has not been able to get it together for most of this season. But there's a lot of people, like we've suggested on this show, maybe you do make some semblance of a push for playoffs this year. ESPN doesn't even know what to do. Like, they did their article about what all 30 MLB teams must do at the deadline, and the first thing they say about the Tigers is, it's hard to say what might or should happen with a Tigers team that just doesn't feel that far away. I mean, you could trade Flaherty and Canna, or you could just stay the course here.
So very non-committal.
They don't know. Like, they put the Tigers in the category of positioning for a push. Teams with reasonable or better playoff probabilities to solidify a push for October. So they don't even know what to tell you. They power ranking, their power ranking has you at 19. But we've gone back and forth, well, should we trade Flaherty? Should we just sell? Should we just go and get some bats while we actually have pitchers who can do anything? And that brought up an interesting point that John Morosi, so he was at one point the Tigers beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. He's now an MLB insider for, I don't even remember who, he's done time at Sports Illustrated. He might straight up work for MLB at this point. But he was on a radio show in Detroit this morning, and he had an interesting take on the whole should they trade, shouldn't they trade, particularly as it relates to one Tarek Skubal. Take a listen.
This, in a lot of ways, Stoney, is a pretty good truth serum of how the team feels internally about their group. If you like your players as much as you would present to the industry and as much as the industry rankings would suggest, then you don't have to trade Skubal because your guys are pretty good in the minor leagues. If you're maybe not as sure about your own guys as it appears publicly, then maybe you should.
So basically what he's saying it comes down to is, do you have faith in the prospects and the core that's been built here? Do you believe in the guys you've got now? If you don't, then maybe you consider trading Scooble. Essentially is the point to be made there. And he said earlier that his general read on it is that he's the centerpiece and you believe you can at least compete for playoff berths while he's still here. And that's A, and that's why I come down on the side of keeping him. If the roster was old and getting too expensive, you looked at the farm system and said, oh my gosh, we've got nothing that we like, then I think you take a different approach. But that, as mentioned in the audio there, that Scooble will serve as a pretty good truth serum of how the team feels internally about their group, being their core, their prospects, guys like Green, and even your guys who are supposed to be up here and aren't right now, like Torque and Parker Meadows and so on and so forth. So with that in mind, I guess that kind of begs the question then. Do you think that, do you like the prospects as much as the Tigers seem to, and that you, and therefore think we should keep Tarek Skubal around? Because they're going to be making a push in the next couple of years.
Not this year, maybe the following. I don't know. I hate trading away really good talent like that because the fan base is just like, what are we doing here? Does that mean we're going back to square one? Nobody wants to hear that. It's been too long.
It's been the better part of a decade at this point. And the problem is, you do have some nice pieces, certainly in the minors. The issue with that is that many of them are several years away yet. Like Max Clark, we're not going to see him up here for probably another three seasons. Doesn't matter what he's currently doing. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to see in the immediate or even near-term future. Like, you have a lot of prospects that could absolutely be something down in your minor league system. Like, Max Clark's been the one that's been talked about most. Going into, or currently as it stands in this season, he's playing for Class A Lakeland. And he is so far, he's hitting a robust 271. He's doing some decent things down in the low levels of rookie ball. But again, we're talking 3 or 4 years away. Could a Jace Young be ready by any time? I mean, he's in AAA right now. He's currently hitting to the tune of 284. He's seemingly doing quite well. He's got 11 home runs on the year. Like, that bat's been a rather nice surprise. He's hitting better right now in Toledo than Justin Henry Molloy did before he got called up by a significant margin. So you got to think that maybe you look at a guy like that and think, okay, maybe he's, if not entirely ready, he's at least close to ready. I'd like to see a cut bait on Baez and just bring him up. You can figure out the shortstop position, put Jung at second, and move things around as you need to. Maybe move Colt Keith over there in the short term. I don't know. But it just seems like I'm not willing to give up on it. Like, I don't have as much faith as some people do, perhaps, in the current state of the core of this team and even the guys in the minors. But I have enough that you can see some of these guys being effective at this level eventually. Like, Torque right now is mashing in AAA, like to the tune of a .344 batting average. He's getting on base at a .436 clip. Got an OPS of like .967 with the power's not really there yet. He's got one home run and three doubles since he's been down. But he's hitting the ball down there a lot better than he was up here. Like,
a lot of people think that when you're sent down, it's a punishment. And I guess in a way it is, but it's also a way for you to gain confidence, get into some lower competition, and find your way again. I know they do it. It's a lot like the Red Wings. I know they do that in the NHL as well.
I mean, that's true. And I certainly think that you'll probably see Torque up here again before the end of the year, that maybe he'll have gotten it together, perhaps not. So I guess on the face of the question that was asked here, with Morosi, like, do you have enough faith in the core that you think you'll be able to, if you like your prospects as much as the Tigers seem to, do you keep them around? My vote's definitely to keep them around. I think you obviously, when you take pitching out of it, it is a lot more questionable, admittedly. But not taking pitching out of it, because you do have a decent amount of pitching. You've got, right now, Skubal, Flaherty, and Olsen in a short series as your starters in a playoff series. I like that lineup a lot. I feel like that threesome is every bit as deadly as any in the league would be. Like, I put those three guys against, I mean, granted, Olsen's numbers lately things haven't gone as good the last, like, three starts. I don't know if it's the league's catching up to him, or maybe a guy's going to have a couple bad games here and there. I mean, so last time up, he went five innings, gave up four and runs. The time before that, eight, five before that. But he'd been shut down for the first 2 months of this season. And I think it's entirely likely that he could yet regain that form. Like, he's not as bad of a pitcher as those three starts would indicate, I would say. You're going to run into those games. The problem is that when the team just can't come back with any offense or give you any run support, because that's been his big problem this season. Like, he should have. Dude should have, like, five or six wins by now, and the fact that he only has one is less of a reflection to him and more so on the fact that for whatever reason, this team won't put up any runs when he's on the mound. But, I mean, you have those guys. You have those three. Eventually, you're going to have Jackson Jobe up here at some point, and he's going to end up being a guy who hopefully pans out at the same level. Like, he looks like he's, at least as of right now, that he's going to be the real deal. So you'll have four guys in your rotation who are as good as any rotation in the league. We could put you in as a fifth starter, and they'd be fine.
I'll admit, I'm in. Put me in. I want number 36.
Like, Job's putting up some good numbers right now in Erie. Like, he's to the tune of, he's got a 2.16 ERA. And he hasn't given up a home run yet this season in his five starts for the Seawolves. Like, he's been doing quite well. The whip is right around one. That's about ideal. He's more than a strikeout and inning guy. So once he gets here, like, that's a foursome you could build a team around if you can get the offense that you need. So I think I'm still a little more positive on your probability of building around Skubal and building around what you have now than I am that, well, if we blow it all up and start over, what do I think we're getting? Unless, and this is the only way I'm even considering, because I still like the idea of there's a couple guys in Toronto right now who could be a pretty good fit right here in Detroit, because I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but Toronto, yeah, they're two games under 500, but they're nowhere near contending in their division. They are actually tied with us in the wild card race right now, but they've got a couple prospects, one who's really kind of struggling this season, but a guy that could solve a couple problems for you at the end of the day. And no, I'm not talking, like, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is not necessarily the guy. I mean, I would love to have him here. Rumors are that Toronto is listening to offers on him, though. There is a potential here that he might be shipped out of town. And I'd be fine with that, because, I mean, dude can hit. He's never going to be, like, the hitter he was in 2021, where, I mean, this dude was, he was on fire. He led the league in on-base percentage and slugging. Like, he was as good as anyone. He led the league in home runs that year and runs scored and everything else. But, like, even just for his career, he's a solid .280 hitter who's got some serious pop in the bat. Any team would love to have him at first. And if you don't think Torque is your answer long-term at first, if he doesn't, if you don't think he's going to be the guy there, then ultimately you could theoretically start him there. He also can play third. He's played in, you know, at least a couple games a season at that position. You can put him as part of that kind of patchwork third base that we have set up currently. But the guy I'm really thinking of targeting, Bo Bichette. He plays shortstop. Another one of the guys that Toronto apparently just acquired, like, every 90s, like, superstar's kid. Like, it's a whole team of Nepo babies. Dante Bichette's kid is currently hitting 240 for the team, but he's a career 293 hitter. He hit 306 last year. He's been the 290s or 300s every other year of his career. I don't think it's very likely that he's just gone off a cliff completely, that this is an aberration more than it's going to be the future for him. And with the right team, he could very well get back to the numbers he's put up literally every other year of his career. And you know what else that solves at that point? The, oh, what are we going to put it short to replace Javi Baez? Here's your answer. Go out and get him. I feel like it's a perfect fit. You need a shortstop. Your shortstop's not getting it done. Chris Illich right now is just not willing to eat the money because, well, we got to put somebody out there, and he's the best we got. You can have so much better. Call Toronto. Find out what it's going to take to get him here and go do it. If you're serious about contending anytime in the next, like, 2-3 years, this is a deal that you absolutely positively have to make. It is happy hour. It's about the time of the week where we pause from yelling about the Tigers and Adam yelling at garage sailors to get off his lawn.
Get off my lawn.
To, well, try and help people, change lives. Really, probably sort none of those things.
Really?
Kind of, really, but not so much. Yes, it's that time again for another installment of Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists.
But
unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and quite frankly, I think we give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So let's just get right into it. I have one that I saved particularly because it is indeed Father's Day this weekend, so I'm told.
Okay.
Here's one. I think as the parent on this show, you'll have quite a bit to say about this.
Probably.
Dear somebody who cares, my husband and I have a 2.5-year-old son and a newborn daughter. He's a great dad, a great provider, and a great partner. His third Father's Day is coming up shortly, and he asked to spend it child-free and alone to rest. Maybe this is a low-stakes question, but is this a red flag? He wanted to spend previous Father's Days with his son, but now he wants to disappear for the day to relax. Please let me know if I'm making a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, you take stock of what's going on with him right now. I mean, were things crazy at work? You got one probably going through the terrible twos, and you got a baby. Read the room. I mean, if you really pay attention to, like, let's say Mother's Day. Let's just talk about Mother's Day for a second. A lot of it is, hey, Mother's Day, take her to this restaurant. Take her over here. Buy her flowers. Spend the time with her. Most of the time when it comes to Father's Day, here, let them go fishing. Let them grill. Let them watch the game on TV. Basically, leave him alone. Father's Day. Give him one day where he forgets he's a father.
I feel like it's fair, though.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's entirely fair. Like, you have to, you know, deal with all the fun things that come with being a father the rest of the year. Why should you not be allowed to have a day where you don't have that?
I mean,
I know that's what my folks always wanted for Mother's Day and Father's Day, is just leave us alone.
Yeah. I mean, all my stepkids are going to be at their dad's, which is fine. And I'll have Joey, but if I didn't, I mean, I would miss a little guy. I would see him a little later on. But part of me would just be like, want to just sit in front of the TV, crack open a cold beer, and watch. I don't even insert anything here. I mean, I would watch anything. Or sit in the backyard, or clean up the backyard, get some housework done, play video games. Just decompress, especially with this week, because at my personal job, it was a hectic week. A good week, but hectic nonetheless. And so I don't know who the writer's husband is, but I definitely feel for him. And I'm kind of in the, it might have even, if I had a newborn, I'd probably wonder if it was Dorothy that wrote it in.
Well, I don't feel like it's a red flag that he wants some time.
No.
Just relax. Like,
No, it isn't. I mean, they can still get him a card or a gift, and it's from them, quote unquote. And, you know, yeah.
And I feel like mothers also do this all the time, too. Like, there's plenty of, like, where dad just, here, take the kids away out for the afternoon so I can have a spa day or something.
Yeah,
like, that
yeah.
happens a lot, too. And I don't think anyone thinks of them as bad mothers for it.
No. But usually the mothers that I know, they're like, okay, yeah, I don't plan on doing any kind of housework. I don't plan on doing anything, but I want a lot of attention lavished on me. That's not all women, so save all your hate mail. But that's, I mean, if you believe what corporate America wants you to believe, take her out to Golden Corral. Take her out here. Take her out there. Buy her a phone. Buy her a car. Yeah, buy her a car for Mother's Day. That's a good idea.
I see
that all the time.
I wish. I guess we're also not parents, but like,
yeah.
Rachel's never bought me. Well, actually, technically, she has kind of gifted me a car in the past.
Yeah.
Granted, the car was falling apart, but still.
Yeah. It's all happened. But I mean, like, would you think about getting your mom like an iPhone? The latest iPhone.
I hate to tell them all this, but that is not in the budget this year. But,
I mean, right around the 1st of May, that's what you see showing up in newspapers and radio, and then of course, you know, in television commercials. Oh, Mother's Day is coming up. Drop everything and spend every time with her. And then when it's Father's Day, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Let him watch the game. Let him go fishing. Let him grill outside if he wants. This is a time not to like complain about this or that or what you don't have. Just get him a card. I mean, my dad was hilarious. I could have gotten him a first communion card, and he'd be like, "Oh, that's nice, son. Oh, look. Oh, thank you very much." And he wouldn't even read it. I could have wrote down an entire poem dedicated to him. He'd be like, "Oh, that's nice, son. Yeah, hey."
To be fair, do they ever really?
That's dad. No, that's a dad thing.
That absolutely is. Like, I'm not sure dad was ever particularly read any of my cards or anything. And my mom, like, she long ago accepted the fact that her son's never gonna get her one of these like sappy, heartfelt like cards. Like, that's just not a thing that we do.
You are one day you're gonna get her a sappy card just to throw off her game. It's like, "Oh my god, am I dying?
Did this literally just to mess with you?"
Yeah. And then never talk about it. I just want to let you know I'm thinking of you, and then never mention it again. She'd be like, "What is he up to?"
And honestly,
I am so scared right now.
Honestly, she should be scared at that point. Like, that's the first thing, the first sign that, like, something is going, "Oh, God, what is he about to do?"
Oh,
like,
God, does he know about the will? Oh, no.
Oh,
that's... sending all your siblings and everybody, all other family members to go start the car.
That's
checking the staircase for fishing line.
On that note, I think we've come to a satisfactory conclusion on that.
That was a simple one. I like that one.
That was. So let's move on to another one, shall we?
Sure.
We'll go ahead and stay on the kind of the parenting thing for this next one. Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, my husband and I are pregnant with our first child and we're thrilled. We're trying to decide who to ask to be the baby's godmother. My brother will be godfather. And the only two real options are my husband's two sisters, Anne and Beth. In order to help us decide who to pick, I suggested to Ann and Beth that we could have a fun contest to determine who would be the godparent. I was thinking something along the lines of a quiz on babies and baby care, which we could record and share with family online. Ann seemed reluctant and Beth outright refused, so I dropped it. The problem now is that Ann and Beth are both being chilly to me. Ann is one of my best friends, and when we're still talking, she's been more distant in our chats. My mother-in-law says it's because Ann and Beth have not always had a great relationship, and the idea of competing probably triggered something, but I didn't think there would be an issue since they made up over a year ago. My husband says to just drop it, and then Ann and Beth will warm up when it's closer to my due date, but I'm kind of annoyed at both of them because I don't think I did anything wrong. How should I approach this?
Wow, what a load. There's only one way we can handle this. Bring out the octagon. First of all, the whole Godfather thing. Great movie. But
absolutely.
It's a Catholic thing. I think it's primarily a Catholic thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Technically, I have godparents, and I am not, to my knowledge, Catholic.
Okay, maybe not. Does anybody really adhere to that kind of stuff? Because I mean, if it's not done up in a living will. Yeah, it's not guaranteed where your kids end up if you croak.
Right. So, I mean, does any of it really mean anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess I don't even have things drawn up if something happens to Dorothy and I, and Lord knows, I mean, it would go to my mom, but I mean...
Because, I mean, I will say, like, my godmother has been fairly, like, active in, like, in my life up to this point, absolutely, but also is not the person that we would have gone to had something happened to Ma and Dad.
Really?
No, it would have been to my brother's, or to my dad's sister, my aunt, other aunt, who was, like... Well, see, basically, that, the third parent to us as kids.
That's the whole term of the godfather, godmother, is if something happens, you go to that person. So I think the mother-to-be is really letting authority go to her head a little bit. She's kind of become kind of a
I feel weird, like you're trying to make it a quiz show. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like she's doing this mostly for social media clout.
Yeah.
Because she's going to post, you know, she's going to post the thing, the social, like, there's no reason you're recording this, like, oh, I'm just going to share it with the family. No, you're trying to go internet viral with this, and you are going to end up with one or two, both of the siblings hating you.
Well, because as weird as the whole godmother, godfather thing is, there's also co-godmothers. So you could alleviate all of this by just naming them both godmothers, but that doesn't get you any clout. That doesn't make enough sadistic fun for you, so you're not up for it. That's not the avenue you want to take.
No.
You want to make people squirm.
Right. She just wants... And also knowing that they don't get along. Like, knowing that they've had major issues... In the past, up to as recently as a year ago.
Oh, about a year ago, they got together. They probably said, okay, let's just...
Make up for the sake of the family?
Yeah, make up and put everything off to the side and just not deal with it. And then here comes this, you know what.
Yeah, here comes sister-in-law just trying to tear the family apart again.
Yeah, we were thinking about naming the kid the same name as the boy you were fighting over, which was what started the fight. Was that cool? We're named the guy Brent. Isn't that the guy that you were all, like, you know, fighting over? So, I don't know.
Everything about that's just terrible. Like,
yeah, this person sounds like a garbage human being. And, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the soon-to-be father. He, you know, here she is just decimating his family for the sake of a stupid game.
I just find that to be so weird. You know, I mean, and also clearly you want the one who's like your best friend to be the godmother anyway. So there's going to be hurt feelings regardless. But now you kind of go and you got them both feeling rather not happy with you.
Yeah.
That was not smart on your part.
Her best friend, quote unquote, is the father's sister. You have no other friends outside of. That family you could call on? Probably not, and that's probably an indicator that you're a garbage human being.
I mean, she probably has other friends, but also probably wanted it to be someone family. Like, it just, like, okay, best friend, also happens to be sister-in-law. I mean, it's a slam dunk thing.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to name your college drinking buddy.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Stacy. Oh, man. Could she down the Jaeger shots? She would make a great godmother. Absolutely.
Yeah, probably don't want Frank the Tank to be your godfather. I'm just putting that out there.
Look what Frank can do with a beer can. Watch, look.
Probably not the greatest quality. Just have, like, the drunk Olympics to determine who's going to be the godparent.
No, you just find the one person that works in, like, olive oil or waste management. That's your godfather right there.
You're not wrong about that.
I just want to know it's been a great honor to be your godfather. I don't know why you guys call me Frank. Frank the Tank, huh? I used to be that way.
Well, at least then you know that if anything happens to you, your kid's going to be a made man. I mean, really.
Exactly.
Really, when you think about it, it just makes sense.
Hi, Junior. Yeah, 10 years. Oh, yeah, Frank. Yeah, he is your godfather, and he works in construction, quote unquote.
Works in the trash business.
You know what a made man is? Well, Mom and Dad, thank you very much. Yeah, Frank seems like a decent guy. Hey, why don't you guys all take a bath together? Yeah, I'll grab this toaster.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I guess apologize to godfathers and godmothers out there because I pretty much just called them useless.
Especially the godfathers, because I don't think either one of us want to get fitted for cement shoes.
I don't want to wake up next to a horse's head.
That doesn't sound like a particularly good way to end the day.
Reminds me of college.
Even by your standards, Adam, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we've solved that problem.
Yes.
Well, we haven't really solved the problem. It's really the what do you do, the aftermath of, well... I don't know what to tell you there.
Yeah.
I guess you just kind of accept the fact that you just nuked your friendship and also made your husband's other sister hate you.
Moving forward, you just need to shut up, let it go, and let everything cool down. You're probably right. They're probably going to become much more involved when the baby's born. Let it go. I mean, name them both co-godmothers, whatever you got to do, but just stop with the game shows. Stop with the embarrassment. Just stop.
And then the fact that you still, I don't think I did anything wrong. Like,
yeah, you did everything wrong.
You did do everything wrong.
You did everything wrong. Even making the guy not wear a condom. You are an antithesis of wrong.
Yeah, just the fact that this guy had a baby with someone who is clearly a terrible person. Yeah, you're right. That was a terrible decision.
Yes.
on her part as well.
Yes.
So all you can really do at this point, I guess, beg for forgiveness and hope that maybe they will accept you and eventually take you back, and maybe you'll have your friend again, and maybe she'll still be your godmother. Or maybe she'll be the one fitting you for cement shoes. Who knows? I feel like it's entirely within the realm of possibility at this point. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Salt Sea Radio. So I apparently am just not familiar with a whole lot of the new customs and things when it comes to weddings and, well, apparently divorces, man. Granted, I haven't gone through any divorces. Hope I don't ever.
No, they're not fun.
But apparently this is a thing now, and I wasn't aware of that until earlier this week. Divorce registries. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
I've never heard of anything like that in my life, and it sounds like a cash grab.
It kind of does it not? Monogram towels, a toothbrush holder for four rather than three, shared bedding for people putting a life back together after divorce, mundane household objects, can be painful marital reminders, also difficult can be the absence of items that departed with the ex-spouse. So this woman apparently got divorced, then got busy building her life back together, and is now trying to make the experience better for others through fresh starts. It's a gift registry specifically for rebuilding after divorce that's also packed with vetted experts if needed and other resources. Divorce registries are part of a trend towards breaking the stigma of broken marriages, along with divorce parties and formal divorce announcements akin to wedding and marriage news.
Okay, as you started to explain it, it makes a little bit of sense because... I mean, I didn't really have a whole lot of issues like that when I got divorced. My wife was very cool with me about everything. She basically just wanted out. But I mean,
poor Adam.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where you're sharing a life with somebody that's not just we share a heart, we spend every Valentine's Day. No, that means you have everything. I was like. Down to the TV, down to the dinette set, down to pots and pans. So sometimes, yeah, maybe you do have to kind of start fresh. And that's the way it was brought up reminded me of like a bridal registry, which is more of a celebration. This is obviously not a celebration. It's a help me while I'm down kind of thing. And at first I was against it, but as you kind of explained it, I don't think it's a terrible idea.
I mean, I suppose that's entirely fair. But it is still, a gift registry in some sense. Like, they apparently use Amazon. They suggest bundles of items ranging from $99 to $500, including, bedroom, kitchen, home office, and bathroom essentials, shower curtains, can openers, bedside clock, a humidifier, and so on and so forth. Retail registries can be set up for a multitude of purposes, including divorce. The proprietor of this website doesn't describe them as gift registries, but rather support registries. Some of her users create registries for other reasons as well. I mean, I guess I can see the point of that, or see how that would be a thing. Like, I don't think I could do it without feeling a total charity case, because I know if Rachel ever does wise up and leave me, she's taking basically everything, because most of it's hers anyway.
Well, okay, well, let's use that as a launching pad. If you had to get a bed, I mean, mattresses are expensive. Beds are expensive. A lot of times you can find, like, that kind of stuff on the cheap. I mean, Certainly there's some resale shops that are fantastic. But still, I mean, instead of, you know, going to a registry at, you know, Target or anything like that, you can just say, hey, this is what I need. And a lot of times people are like, listen, we got a spare bed that's broken down in the basement. It's yours. It's just kind of pulling the bat signal out that, you know, I'm starting all over and I need help.
Well, that's a little bit different, too, because that's, I mean, obviously that's not something that we're talking, or this is like an actual registry where you can go buy these items online versus, you know, your buddy's got a spare bed that...
No, but I mean, it's still there. It's like, oh, I see you need to, you have it registered for a bed. I have a bed frame and everything else and a box spring. You're welcome to it.
I guess that makes sense.
So, I mean, maybe that doesn't help the narrative of this person starting it. But the thought is still there.
Certainly. I mean,
because, I mean, there's some people out there that, I mean, especially in situations where there's kids, a lot of times the guy will just leave the house, give it everything, just so the kid's taken care of, and everything, their life can go on as normal. But, you know, that guy's got to start off at a friend's house, at buying his own house, hopefully if he has money, or get an apartment. He's got to start off fresh. I mean, like you mentioned the can opener. Yeah, you realize, wow, I just went ahead and splurged on a bunch of canned goods, and I realized I don't have a can opener. It's that kind of thing.
No, things you don't really think about until you're in that
You've
position.
You've built your life with somebody, and it's splitting up for whatever reason. You realize your life is not just emotional. It's physical. It's possessions. It's... how do we make this work?
Right. And that makes a lot of sense, I think. Now, what I do find is they do also mention in the article about, you know, the whole, like, formal divorce announcements and divorce parties and things that are happening, which...
I mean, I guess those have their place, especially if you work in a bar. You want any kind of party, but that's still kind of a sad thing.
It is, and it feels... There's something that feels just weird about it, right? We're celebrating. Well, thank God I'm done with that loser. What, like, it almost like it immediately feels like it's very much like the whole thing's absolutely intended to put down or denigrate the other person.
Yeah, the same people who were at your wedding like 2 years ago going, yeah, I'm glad we're doing this. Okay, all right. Well, then, you know, a year later, oh, I love him so much, and we're going to marry this guy. And how are we doing? Yeah.
And you know they're the same people, that the kind of people who are going to be throwing the divorce party later on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They got to kick that trash to the curb.
Woo! So, yeah, I mean, I guess any reason for a party as far as I'm concerned, but, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why you don't see happy divorce in the Hallmark section.
I feel like we're not far from that, though. Like, I feel like they're absolutely... It honestly might exist already to some extent. Like, I feel like there's already... There's a market for that sort of thing.
There probably is, but not the Hallmark brand, because very wholesome. I mean,
yeah, they don't want to put that on there. But the ones who make like the funny cards and like the things are a little more.
Yeah, you'll find it at Spencer's Gifts, absolutely. But you know, your typical American florist, your Hallmark people, you're not going to find a happy divorce day or anything like that.
Probably not. Though I do know people who absolutely would buy that stuff and absolutely celebrate, like...
Yeah, just as you're buying the wedding card, you buy the other one because you know you're going to need it in about two years?
Pretty much. Yeah, no, absolutely. And the same people who still party and celebrate on their divorce day to this day.
Yeah, you've seen people walk down the aisle and it's like, I give it a year.
I've absolutely done that. I'm not going to lie to you. When I hear, like, they're getting hitched, huh? Like, yeah.
No kidding. Ain't that something?
Yeah, I give it 6 months.
Okay, yeah.
This is never going to work.
She's a liberal. He's a conservative. But okay. All right. Oh, she likes cats. And he's allergic to cats. This is going to work out
well.
She's
an atheist and he's part of a religious cult.
Okay. Yeah. This is going to. She likes the Yankees. He likes the Red Sox. Ooh. Yeah.
That can't ever work.
Absolutely.
Just can't. Like, there's some things, man, that there's some differences that just can't be overcome. And I guess for those people, there's always the divorce party.
Yeah. It's a market out there.
No, there's absolutely a market for it. And I feel like it has been more of a thing. Like, I see more people who are, like, very much throwing the parties, making the big announcement. Like, hey, everybody, guess who's back on the market?
Yeah. Like, sometimes, when it's a long-standing abusive relationship, and it can feel like, oh, yes, I'm finally free, but, yeah.
I get that, or like, okay, he cheated on you, or you cheated on, but whatever. Like,
and it's certainly it's putting a positive face forward on a sad moment, but
some of it just feels like, it really is just like piling on the other person, like, okay, you're clearly like, We're making you out to be human garbage when, okay, you're leaving just because, like, he wasn't, I don't know, maybe because he wasn't good and bad, I don't know.
Yeah, the sex stopped, so you realize that he's kind of a POS, you know, what do they say, love is blind, lust is Helen Keller?
Is that what they say?
That's what I've heard.
That's what you've heard. Well, your hearing's probably about on the same level as her, so you know that seems fair.
What'd you say?
Let's go ahead and hit a break here. We'll come back. We'll close this thing out because I've been making you wait a long time to discuss something.
Yeah, you're always waiting to the end of the show now.
I swear I didn't plan it that way by intention. It's just kind of how it worked out.
Yeah.
So yes, we'll get to hockey next. Woo. It is happy hour. Stick around. Back after this. The 1975, your local alternative Solid State Radio. Tigers in action tonight, 8:10 game time against the Houston Astros. Not getting that Tarek Skubal, Justin Verlander matchup that I think we were all really kind of hoping to see. But they are both going to be pitching. Skubal's going tonight. Tomorrow, Jack Flaherty going up against JV, who was 3-2 on the season thus far. The 3.95 ERA, not the best season ever for Houston, who are currently sitting somehow 7 games under 500, which I don't think I thought I'd see that again in my lifetime, especially with all the guys that won them a World Series a couple years ago, but somehow here we are. Hopefully the Tigers can take care of some business and get back on the right side of 500, but they were supposed to do that against Washington, and how'd that work out? Yes, I probably made you wait long. I do this, and it wasn't my intention to do it this way.
Liar!
It's just kind of worked out that every week we don't get to get you to hockey stuff until like the end of the show. Which, to be fair, I mean, it's not like we have a team that's particularly involved or relevant in the sport at present.
And there's another sport out there in the finals that we haven't even talked about. So I guess that's fair.
Can I just say that before I even hit the music and get into it, that this has been one of the more disappointing years of like championship rounds of sports. Like the NBA finals, like the Celtics are probably gonna sweep, and that disappoints me because I hate when Boston sports fans ever feel joy.
Yeah.
And you have this other series which is also looking like it might trend that way. It's like this has been a really boring round of like finals, man. Okay, now we can get, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Like, what happened, man? I don't get it. It's like, we had some really exciting matchups in the early rounds of these playoffs, and then now we get to the finals, and it's just, okay, the Oilers are going to roll over and die, apparently.
Yeah,
which makes me happy, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for the NBA, but the NHL, it's this current playoff format. It's absolute garbage, because you're constantly going to be playing the same team in your division. for the first round. And so you have Florida going against Tampa Bay in the first round, and then Boston, and then New York Rangers. Those are some fantastic matchups. Meanwhile, in the Snooze City West, you have Edmonton. I don't even know who they play. I mean, Dallas.
Yeah, first round they
Colorado
played
and
the Kings.
Vancouver or Kings. Kings, that's right. Yeah,
the Kings, then Vancouver, and then
Dallas. So I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, I guess you're getting some good hockey fan base is going on there? Question mark. I don't know how good Florida is. I mean, they're packed. They're
as well. They should be.
They definitely should be.
I mean, they're in the Cup Finals and they're about to win the Cup.
I mean, Edmonton showed a little bit of life towards the tail end of Game 3, but Florida ended up winning that game 4-3. Saturday, you could be handing out a Stanley Cup to the Florida Panthers. Their first cup. In their 30 years of existence. I think that's exciting. This is Hockey 101, kids. This is, you're watching a big, tough matchup with some good goal scorers, and a lot of them are off the score sheet. In these finals, you don't have any goals from McDavid, Draisaitl, Tkachuk. You have one goal from Sam Bennett, one goal from Sam Reinhart. Everything else has been the B-roll players. Their whole term of rolling four lines, it's not a cliche. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup if you're only focusing on two or three guys. Maple Leafs, I'm hoping you're listening. This is not the NBA.
I hope they're not, like, because I want them to keep losing forever.
This is not the NBA where you have like one or two players that you can count on, then, you know, some support help, but you have to have four lines. We just celebrated the 22nd anniversary of the biggest, the greatest hockey team to ever win the Stanley Cup, the 0-2 Red Wings, but they could run four lines consistently. You never knew where that puck was coming from because everybody was on that team. But as far as Florida and Edmonton, I'm sure there's some or more than a few people who are holding a ticket for Game 5 in Florida. That they're a Florida fan, they're like, am I rooting against Florida in Game 4? Do I purposely want them to lose so it comes back to for Game 5 in Sunrise?
Which
so
I get,
I can see it.
I get it, but you never let them back in. You absolutely don't ever let the other team back in because that's how you get upset in a bunch of series that you're up 3-0.
I don't know if it's
like
ever happened in the finals, but I know it's happened in recent history in the playoffs where a team was down 0-3 and then came back and won it. So I'm hoping that Florida can just go ahead and close it out, get it done, get it over with. And the Conn Smythe has got to go to one Sergei Bobrovsky. Does it not?
How couldn't it? Man has stood on his head really throughout the playoffs in general. I mean, throughout these playoffs thus far, he's rocking a 207 goals against. He's given up a grand total of 42 goals throughout the playoffs, which pretty good through 20 games. Like, you're barely giving up. You're giving up just a hair over two goals a night. I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more than that. Skinner has not been quite as good, but that's because Skinner hasn't been.
He was not supposed to be good, but I will tell you what. Skinner has, he's got no help. He's done his job.
Well, here's the difference, though. Bobrovsky has faced a ton more shots than Skinner has. Like, we're talking, he's faced like an additional 50 shots.
Yeah,
but he's also given up. So he's given up seven more goals in that span. Like, he hasn't faced nearly as many shots, but yet he's given up more goals. Like, there's no, you can't really entirely blame it even on Edmonton's defense, though it hasn't been great. He's still not, like, when it does get to him, he's not getting it done.
The save percentage is
atrocious.
Yeah, we've seen that happen when you're not getting any help, and that's exactly what's happening with Stuart Skinner. I'm not saying he's better than Bobrovsky, of course, but I am saying that he has done his job for these Edmonton Oilers. He's not getting any help up front. He's not getting any help on the blue line. The guy, I mean, I'm not going to look at an Edmonton loss and point to Skinner and say, that's the reason.
I mean, that, like I said, that's fair, but like I said, Bobrovsky has faced more shots and let in fewer goals. That tells you.
Well, Bobrovsky is, I mean, his goal against average.
He's looking like Keith Hasek right now. Said that a lot, but.
Going in right now, his goal against average is the best of any goaltender in the modern era going into these Stanley Cup finals. I mean, if he does not get the Conn Smythe, I want answers. I want everybody who had a vote to call him on the carpet and say, why? Who are you giving it to?
Give these people on the phone ASAP. They're still going to give it to like McDavid somehow, even though he didn't have a single playoff
exactly.
goal.
McDavid didn't have a point in the... why not? I mean, Crosby didn't have a point in that 2018 Stanley Cup win. Or 2017, excuse me. And they still gave him the Conn Smythe.
I don't understand
crazy,
the logic
huh?
sometimes. Funny how that works. It's almost
problem is they give the voting to the journalists and the radio people.
Don't know who half these people are.
Right, I don't recognize that name. Check.
Hockey playoff. Is that hockey finals? Is that still going on? All right. Well, I'm just
I thought hockey was done months ago. I don't understand.
Yeah.
some of these, you really got to question it, man.
I mean, Edmonton really laid down the first two periods of that game three, but came back. I'm wondering if they're going to use that as some gunpowder for game four. Say, okay, we did it. We know we can do it. I have a feeling it's not going to be a sweep. I think Edmonton is going to win game four, and then they're going to close it out, I believe, on Monday, question mark. I think the Cats are going to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Tuesday.
Makes sense. They're going to hoist the cup in their own barn in Sunrise, Florida.
I mean, for them, it would be nice, but I don't see Edmonton being able to pull this out. I just don't. I mean, you look thus far, Panthers have they've managed to hold the Oilers to... this was the first game where they got more than one goal on the board.
Yeah.
I don't think Bobrovsky is going to even allow that, to be quite honest with you. And even if he does, the Panthers haven't scored less than three goals in a game in this finals.
Well, I think what that did maybe for the Panthers, it woke them up. It's like, okay, you know, the Oilers are not to be trifled with. They're still here for a reason. Let's get that first goal and then shut it down. Let's win that game 1-0. Let's get one for Bob.
And that's why I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen ultimately, is that they are going to get that one for Bob and he's going to just shut them down the rest of the way.
And then we have to say Florida Panthers Stanley Cup champions. Are we really having to say it? Wow.
You know what? I'm fine with that, though.
Oh, I am too.
Mostly because it means yet another year where the Canadians don't get to bring the cup home for the 30th year in a row.
Oh, Sean. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're taking that hot take, but yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I am. I'm sorry.
We love you, Canada. We really do. We've never had a bad time in Canada, but...
We truly haven't, but... After all these years of, you wouldn't even have a win. You know, none of your teams would win for all the Canadian players. All these teams are mostly Canadian guys, and yet none of them want to play in their home country. Funny how that works.
It's crazy, huh?
And as such, they haven't been able to bring home a cup in now three decades.
And who's your biggest goal scorer in Toronto? Oh, that's right. A guy from Scottsdale, Arizona. Oh, did I say that out loud?
How does that
I'm
make
so
you
sorry.
Feel?
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Go have fun getting
I'm just feeling
first
randy today,
again.
Aren't I?
Oh, my. Adam just bringing the hot takes today.
Ooh, my goodness.
It's getting a bit warm in here, man.
Let's talk about a Stanley Cup win on Monday. Let's just get it done and over with, and then we can talk about the draft.
Exactly. Have you been following the draft and prospects and things? Because I'm not gonna lie to you and say for a second that I am.
Not one bit. I know the one guy, that one cat that's probably gonna go to San Jose, celebrate Teeny or something like that, with beautiful hair. I mean, this kid. I mean, he's got his hairstylist is on point. But other than that. No. I know a lot of mock drafts have some cat coming from Sweden to Detroit one of those guys with a hyphenated name where they're going to he wears an extra large, basically they need a 2X just to fit his name on his jersey. It's one of those guys.
Ah.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. Nobody knows what Iserman doesn't even know what happens. I mean, he picked Mo Sider out of Pumpkin Patch in that year. Number 6 overall, he was projected to go in the 20s. Even threw him off, but it worked out because Mo Sider ended up winning the Calder Trophy that year and is the D1 pairing.
Yeah, I have to say, like, I often in the moment question a lot of the drafting that Iserman has done, but then for some reason it always seems to work out, doesn't it?
Well, they had those playoffs going. I'm sorry, the World Juniors things going on, and there was a lot of prospects out there that were just having a great time. There's one guy, Rise Pelica or Pelican or something like that. He has just been lights out. He's a Detroit Red Wings prospect. You have Trey Augustine, who did very well for Sparty, and he's a prospect of the Red Wings. Future is bright for Detroit.
That it is. On that note, we got a little bit of business to take care of. In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Andy Williams, Ann Murray, Tiny Tim, our neighbors,
Godfathers,
godmothers. We're sorry. Kind of. We got to get out of here, though. A full hour of local original music. Apparently, that's what's coming your way next year on Solid State Radio on a little show that Adam likes to call Sessions.
Sessions. One full hour of nothing but Michigan-made music. Final Confession. They've been in studio before. They have a new album. They have new members. But same philosophy. Melt your face. It's going to be a great, great time.
Should be, but They've been in studio before. Like, aren't we well past the Final Confession at this point? Like, at some point, final has to mean final, right? Does it not?
I will bring that up to them. I'll see what they have to say. They'll probably think it's hilarious.
I feel like probably not so much. Anyway, Sessions is next. I'll be well. Talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.